world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, now as onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Honey in the Rock. We're so glad to have Amber back today, and I know y'all are. She was sick last week. She come in today, and we're going to do a song titled Honey in the Rock.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock. Praying for a miracle, thirsty for the living well, only you can satisfy. Sweetness at the mercy seat, now I've tasted, it's not hard to see, only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock. 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 Freedom where the spirit is. Bounty in the wilderness. You will always satisfy. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood and healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it is done. Everything you did, dear. Providing, I have all that I need. You are all that keep praising, you keep proving I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep looking, I keep finding, you keep giving, keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving.
Come in here today to worship. Are you worshiping? Do you feel the Holy Spirit? I hope you do. This next song we're going to do is Here I Am to Worship. I want you to worship. We worship when we feel good. We worship when we don't. I told Junior earlier, I said, I'm a little lightheaded. He said, well, stay close to your stool. You might need to sit down. But I am so thankful for Jesus. And I'm so thankful for his keeping power. Folks, we have so much to be thankful for today. And if you're here today and you're focusing, the enemy has you focusing on your situation, and maybe you may be in a dire situation. Folks, what you need to do today is understand worship will elevate you above that. When you don't know what else to do, worship. When you're at the end of your rope, begin to worship. God inhabits the praise of his people. If you want to get the ear of God, start to worship. And watch the situation in your life begin to change. Worship with us today. Sing with us on this song. Here I am to worship. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes and let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, a hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to this earth. But here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, you're wonderful. You're so wonderful to me. Hallelujah. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely. Altogether. Yes, you are. You're so wonderful to me. You are wonderful to me. Ever since I was a little kid, I remember when we'd have nightmares or wake up my mom with having trouble sleeping. And Jared said the same thing. It was funny. He said the same thing his mom told him. And he tells Maddie, say the name of Jesus. If you begin to repeat the name of Jesus, watch that fear leave. Watch peace come. Amen. There's something about the name of Jesus. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. There is something about that name.
Thank you.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's just something about that name. Like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, let all heaven and earth proclaim. And kingdoms may all pass away. Oh, but there's something about that name. Oh, yes, kings and kingdoms may all pass away. Oh, but there's something about that name. We're going to do one more song. And I think it's fitting that we did this song at this time, because looking out there, some of you look a little heavy. Are you okay? Are you excited to be in church today? Amen. Well, let me tell you, there's hope in Jesus. I've been held by the Savior. I felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. Oh, yes, I have. And I ain't the same. A prodigal return. Oh, yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. Oh, yes. And I've been washed by the blood. Now I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains. But I've been freed and forgiven. Oh, yes, I have. And I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. Everybody sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that? Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. Oh, yes. And I've been washed by the blood. Now there's a kind of thing that you just breaks a man. It breaks him right down to his knees. And I've been broken more than a time or two. Oh, yes, I have. But then you pick me up and show me what it means to be a man. Oh, all my hope is in Jesus. Well, thank God my yesterday is gone. All my sins are forgiven. Oh, yes. And I've been washed by the blood. Everybody sing with us now. All my hope is in Jesus. Well, thank God my yesterday is gone. Oh, yes, it is. All of my sins are forgiven. Oh, yes. And I've been washed by the blood. And I've been washed by the
Good morning. Our main text this morning will be in Isaiah chapter 6. When God gives you a word, there's something about having a word where you're pregnant of the gospel and it has to be released. And so I believe this morning that this is a word for us. And me and Pastor Frankie were talking this week, and it was a little uncertain on his schedule, and as he said, his surgery was a little up and down, and how this thing's going with the hospital. Please be in prayer about that, because that affects a lot of people, amen. And so we just eventually, I guess, decided to keep what we were doing as the plan. So, but I say that because when a pastor opens up the pulpit to anybody else, it's a responsibility as a shepherd. And I honor him in the ability to preach this morning, because it's not a light thing. When somebody gives somebody a microphone to stand in front of people and generations and generations of people, it comes with great responsibility to his word. And so I just honor him and his family and what you're dealing with. We pray that gets resolved in Jesus' name. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to be primarily through the first 10 verses. And I was, it's an odd example, but the Lord gave me in worship, this reminded me of something that happened a few weeks ago. My shower drain got clogged, and as much as I tried to unclog it with my own means, it wouldn't get unclogged. And Wayne was speaking of, we look kind of heavy in the room, and there's some things going on in each of our lives, and sometimes our drains get clogged, and there's something in the way. And as much as I tried to get this thing unclogged, I used chemicals and it just wasn't going. So I finally had to call a plumber. And the plumber came and he used this tool, this rotor deal, that sounded like he was putting a hole in my concrete. And he just was at it for a little while, and it was loud and noisy and awful. And he finally got this clog undone. I didn't care about what was in the pipe. I'm just glad it got drained. Amen? Some of us need to take yesterday's problems and yesterday's junk and just unclog it with the Word of God. We've been sifting around with problems too long. And we talked about in youth this morning with the young men. I was teaching the young men this morning about sifting through the rubble. We do too much of that, sifting through the rubble, sifting through the junk. It's junk. Flush it down the pipe, get it unclogged, and live a new day. Amen? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so that's the God that we serve. So Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, I'm just going to read this little story to you, the first 10 verses. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood a seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, and saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. It says, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Isaiah said, Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I want to stop at that verse. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. And if we could get a hold of that reality, because that's what the Word says and that's what the prophet encountered, it would change our perspective on seeing problems. Sometimes we look on the focus on the problems and not the solution. And the solution is that we have to fix our eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who sits in the throne room of heaven, and it says that the earth, Isaiah says, the earth is his footstool. And so we act like sometimes we forget that God's actually in control, because we escalate our problems beyond God's measure when God says the whole earth is full of my glory. So in the midst of my problem, God is still King of glory. And that's the truth. That's not something to make us feel better. That's just the reality that we walk in, live in, and are called to. Amen? Does the holiness of God challenge my life? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about this word that God gave me, a holy encounter to empower a holy life. A holy encounter to empower a holy life. For some people, we know the stories. We know this, have read this story. But the God of the Word of God is still the God of the Word. And sometimes we can know the Word of God and not encounter the God of the Word. And so we're called to a holy encounter that empowers us to live the life that's truth through His Word. And so He says, all of the earth is full of the glory of God. And Isaiah saw and encountered the glory of God. And he says, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the people of unclean lips. My first point this morning is that God is holy. That God is holy. Jesus is reigning king, and Jesus is working and active on the earth. And we shine as his people, but God is holy. The angels were saying in these verses, they said three times, holy, holy, holy. So what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean? Why is this word so important, that God is holy? And why is it so important we understand that God is holy? It means that he's separate and set apart. He's separate and set apart. And he's special for a purpose, for a specific purpose. There is none like him in all the earth. And he called us to be a holy people. That's part two. But part one is that God is holy. There's only two times in Scripture where holy, holy, holy is mentioned. One is in this text. The other one is in Revelation 4:8. In Revelation 4:8, it mirrors the same verse. It says, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Jesus is not reigning, was not reigning king, and he didn't just impact a nation for 3.5 years. He was and is. Amen. He is reigning king. He was reigning king. He is reigning king. I'll read you another one in Psalms 96, verse 9 through 13. It says, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth, and say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all of its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. And then all the trees of the woods rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. And he shall judge the earth with the world with righteousness, and the peoples with truth. Everybody's seeking for truth today. Everybody wants their version of truth. But there's one righteous truth. And it was defined by Jesus, King of Kings. And the scripture says that we read, it says, and he will judge the peoples righteously. And because of that, he is holy. Because he is holy, his judgments are just, righteous, and holy. And we don't like to deal with that sometimes if we live in ourselves, if we live in our self-answer and we've formed up and conjured up our own truth, we have a problem with this. But the holiness of God is what keeps a nature of fallen man separated from God itself. So we must understand that the reason why we come together is to be built up in the most holy faith. Amen. So to be changed from glory to glory, and by the image of him that we look, we see in a mirror dimly lit, but we're looking to Jesus and we're being changed by him from glory to glory. And we're being built up, Jude says, in the most holy faith. And so we have to understand that our faith has to be holy. Some people say, well, I have faith, I believe. But is your belief holy? Because my fear is that in a lot of churches in the body of Christ, we've lost the reality of God's holiness. And what I mean by that is it's not that We come in and we have to be dressed a certain way or we have to act a certain way. But we have to, our lives have to respond and reveal the glory of God because he's holy. And if our lives don't reveal him, we don't understand his holiness. It's quiet in here. but it's the truth. We've lost in the church culture the holiness of God, the reverence and the fear of Almighty God. There's a testimony of a man. His name was, I believe the story's from Smith Wigglesworth. This is a funny name. He's from England. And he got to see mighty power of healing on his life and be used by God for healing. And there was a service where he preached, and the presence of God fell so strong in this place that people, unbelievers, were crawling to the back door to get away from the presence of God. You say, well, that sounds weird, but that's actually in Scripture. You see, Moses was told to go to the mountain, but the people couldn't even go up because they couldn't recognize and respond to the holiness of God, because they were unwilling to conform to a nature that's drawn close to the Lord. So they were separated because of their unholy life and because of unbelief. And so Moses went up and Joshua went up. Why is it that Joshua went up, but the rest of the congregation couldn't go up? It wasn't because God picks favorites. It was because God separated holy life from unholy life, from faith and most holy faith to no faith. And so really what we're dealing with is faith to faith and glory to glory, or and the just shall live by faith, or just not living by faith. Because it doesn't take faith to come to church. It don't take faith to come to church. Satan's actually okay with us coming to church if it don't change our life. If it doesn't bring about holiness, it's just another place. And so the church, in a lot of ways, has lost its sense of God, and it's lost its being captivated. As Isaiah chapter 6, he was captivated by the holiness and the fullness of God's presence. And we can do that not just here. We can wake up every morning and fix ourselves on the glory of God and say, I thank you, Lord, that even though I don't feel your presence and I don't feel like you're shaking the temple with your glory, but I know that you are filling the earth with your glory just like you filled it in Isaiah 6. That's what faith speaks. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, there's a verse. This will step on some toes. It says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him, that's to revere him, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. God does not want to send people to hell, but people are going there because they don't fear, they don't believe in him. They don't trust in him. It's not that they don't know the story of Jesus dying on the cross, but they don't place their faith in him. And Jesus is not looking forward to the day in which we read in Psalms 96 where he will judge the nations. Jesus said things like, I've come not to judge the world, but to save it. Because the world has already been condemned. I come not to condemn the world, but to save it. It's already been judged. The judgment is already laid through the cross. There's the cross, and there's life through the cross, or there's our own, any other way that seems right to a man. And so in Matthew 10, 28, he says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. There's things going on in the earth that are shaking nations. Like we prayed for Israel, they're at war, and there's people against those people that can kill the body. And there's persecution against his church all over the world, if you're unaware, but they cannot kill the soul. And so the people that live by faith are those who have encountered the holiness of God for who he is, for who he really, really is. If I see Jesus for who he really, really is, there's no way for me not to be changed unless I'm hardened against him. Scripture is pretty clear. We can actually believe and yet not receive him. And so the first point was that God is holy. The second point I want to make is we must be made holy. We must be made holy. If you're back in Isaiah 6, after he sees the holiness of God, and after he says, "My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts," it says, "One of the seraphim flew to me, and having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged.'" This angel takes, Isaiah's in the seeing this, and this angel takes a coal, a live red hot coal, and he touches it to his lips. And we think, ouch, that would burn. The holiness of God, the holiness of God is what purges away the sins of the world. When we encounter his holiness, in Isaiah, this is a message to his people that we're not, God's will and God's plan and God's desire is not to be separate from God, it's to be one with God. And so he made a way. And in the Old Testament, we see this coal. We see this reconciling coal that purges away the sin, that burns away the sin. And there's pain in carrying the cross. But when we are nailed to the cross with Christ, in the Old Testament, we have a coal. In the New Testament, we have a cross. That all sins are nailed to that cross and purged away, cleansed away. Again, when the clog in the drain was fixed, I didn't care what was in the drain. I was just happy the drain was clear. The sin is purged away by the cross. Some of us are kept from our being made holy. We can't see ourselves that we have been made holy in God because we're still trying to sift through the things that clog our drain, when God says, it's already purged. It's already put away. It's in the past. I'm not bringing it back up again. You're thinking about that. It's keeping you from experiencing me in the holiness of God. Thus, we don't live holy lives because our minds are set on the things of our past and actually keeping us from our divine plan and purpose. Y'all awake this morning? I'm trying really hard. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. He is like living water. There's a scripture that says, like cold water, so is the gospel to a weary soul. It's somewhere in Proverbs. Just read Genesis to Revelation and it'll be in there. It's in there, I promise. So, we're called to be made holy. We must be made holy. I read you this scripture. Pastor Frankie, I think, read this scripture last week. He says, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10 and 7, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." So there's people that say, "Well, I don't believe in the power of God because I don't see it for today. And God's power never changed and God's power never went away. But what we have is we have people that don't encounter the holiness of God and don't allow their life to be changed by His perspective on their life, and therefore their vessel doesn't radiate glory and holiness, though so we say it doesn't exist. But it's as living and active through the people that are allowing Him to work as it ever was. And I've said this before, well, I don't believe that God heals. Well, have you ever prayed for the sick? Well, no. Well, okay. Well, I don't believe in prophecy because I don't ever hear from the Lord. Well, have you ever asked for the spiritual gift? Well, no. Well, James says you have not because you ask not. When you ask amiss. We must be made holy. Do we want the fire of God? We say that. We say yes. But are we willing to get burnt? The fiery trials that James says, that the trying of your faith comes with fiery trials and tribulations. And see, we want to grow in faith, but we don't want to encounter trials and tribulations. And all of Isaiah says, he says, I've purged away your sin. The coals touched your lips and it's purged away. And the holiness of God is on you to speak with purity and with holiness. Psalms 51:7. We must be made holy. David says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be made clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot away all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. God has to create. God has to take a heart of flesh and make it a heart. A heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. God has to create a dead heart and make it a living heart. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Past tense verse. Were dead. Are made alive in the newness of God. Truth. Today, yesterday's yesterday. Amen? Colossians 1:22. This is a tough verse. This is what Jesus says of His church. In the body of His flesh through His death on the cross, just like the coal of fire that purged away the sin. Colossians 1:22. In the body of His flesh through His death to present who? To present you what? Holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. What's the first word? Holy. And we use phrases in the church. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. It's contradictory to the gospel. And well, it sounds good and it sounds humble, but it's actually unprofitable to the kingdom of God because we're not called to inherit sin anymore. And we're not called to inherit death anymore. We're called to inherit newness of life and the fullness of His holiness in us. That the power of God would be working not for us, not from us, but from God, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. What if we saw God as God seeing us holy, blameless, and above reproach? Now, I'm not saying that you can, well, God sees me this way, so whatever I do doesn't matter. What I'm saying is if you live holy, blameless, and above reproach, you'll please Him through a holy life. because you're seeing God clearly through his eyes. And you're seeing yourself clearly through his eyes. Am I making sense? Philippians 2:15. I spoke this over your parents. I spoke this over your teens a few months ago. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Well, I hope the Lord comes back soon, because the world's getting darker and the world's getting harder and the sins are getting worse. And yep, that's all true. And you should not have changed, because he doesn't change. And it's easy to say this from the pulpit. It's another thing to live it out in Walmart on Monday on the 21st of December. Right? And so we let things take the place of God's holiness in our life and the holiness being lived out. And so our third point is your purpose to reveal and show him through a holy life. Your purpose to reveal and show him holy through a holy life. Remember, I said it's an encounter, holy encounter to empower a holy life. And so who we encounter in Jesus and who we say Jesus is dictates how we live our life. Your purpose to reveal and show Jesus. It says in Isaiah 6, you go on down and we're at verse 8. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? See, God doesn't need our help, actually. He actually doesn't need me. He wants me. And he actually doesn't need any of us. If we think he does, we are wrong. But he wants us to partner with him. He chose us before the foundations of the earth. And explaining that out, I don't know, but that's what it says. And so he wants us to partner with him for his purpose. It says, who shall I send and who shall go for us? God, in his fullness, was looking to redeem man by man. But he couldn't use any man, because all of man was fallen because of sin and death. So he had to use one man. One perfect, fully man, and one perfect, fully God man. And his name was Jesus. Isaiah wasn't able to preach the way he preached because it was Isaiah. Isaiah was able to preach the way he preached because God purged his sin and his spirit hovered over Isaiah and he preached. And you know what he told him? What he would say? God told Isaiah, you're going to preach the gospel and nobody's going to listen. What if we applied that to our life? Does my purpose in God that I'm talking about, God called me to a purpose. And is my purpose in God to encounter him holy and live out holiness? Does the response of the world change my purpose? Because Isaiah was called to preach the gospel fully. And he says in verse 10 and verse 9, he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Verse 10, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. He told him to preach to that people. So sometimes we can live in a fallen world and have struggles from day to day and say, God, is this really worth it? Did you really call me to this? Because I don't see a great success in what I'm doing. God's success in what you're doing is not dictated by man's response. I'll say that again. God's purpose in your calling is not dictated by man's response to it. So we're called to live in a way that reveals Jesus. This is some of the last verses I have. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. We just had a harvest festival or a fall festival here in October. Jesus said this around this time of year, we start thinking about this. It says, and then he said to them, the harvest truly is great. Jesus said, my harvest is great. What I've planned is great. But he's looking for us. Remember, he said to Isaiah, who will go for us? So the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. The problem isn't God's harvest. The problem is our labor. And so when we partner with God for his purpose, we'll see the harvest. It says, what does he say to do? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray to the one who created the harvest to raise up a generation that will work to his harvest. That's my prayer as a youth pastor, is God, am I raising up a generation that will harvest the kingdom of God? I want them to know Bible verses. I want them to talk to God in private. But the success of all of that is determined by what they do with it. Young people, the success of what you do in God is determined by what you do with it, not how much you know up here. John 10, 27 through 28 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. He told a generation to Isaiah, you're going to preach and they're going to hear, but they won't hear. Jesus said it, referring to it. You have ears to hear, but you do not hear. In this verse in John 10, 27, 28 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's three parts to that. My sheep hear, I know them, they've responded to me, and they follow me. If the band will come on up. I want to open these altars this morning. And I want to take some time. I want to call you. If you've heard the gospel, you may have heard the gospel since you were zero. And you've been hearing and hearing and hearing. But your hearing the gospel is a part of the gospel. We have to have ears to hear, but we have to have sheep to follow. We have to be sheep to follow, amen? And there's an encounter to Jesus. God wants a true, real, heavenly encounter in your heart. And the doorpost and the walls don't have to shake, but when God does something real in your life, it'll be lived out. So if you'll stand with me this morning. James, it says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his face in a mirror. And he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. I'm going to call you this morning if you've been running from God, you've been hearing God's voice, but you haven't been following Him. There's two different things there. I can hear God's voice and not follow Him, or I can hear Him and respond. And I want you to be so bold this morning to come. If there's something not right in your life, or you need healing and you want the power of God to work in your life, there's plenty of people that will pray with you. And we're going to open up these altars and then just close. Amen.